Second. Here we go. Okay. Think this should work. Okay, so let's start. I wanted to pick up. Let's start with the B'nai Grusha Salev Sugya, the Nedarim discussion. We're in the middle of seeing three separate Gemaras, right? The Gemara in Gittin Daf Tzadi about Yosheves Tachtav Umishamsho V'Libo Lagarsha, correct? The Gemara in Yevamos about Al Yisa Adam Isha V'Daito Lagarsha, which is about a marriage that is designed or intended to be short term. That's the Gemara in Yevamos. Whereas the Gemara in Gittin is about you got married and now there's Das Lagarish. And then we have the Gemara in Nedarim about the B'nai Teisha Midos, which talks about the wrongfulness of intimate relations under certain conditions, one of those conditions being B'nai Grusha Salev. Correct? Okay, so let's just chazer that Gemara very quickly in Nedarim Daf Chaf. We saw Al Yishta Adam Bekos Tevi Tanina Bekos Acher, and the Gemara side of this pasuk, Uvrosi Mikem Hamardim V'Haposhim Bi. And I just added a few translations. And if you look at the, anybody know the context in Yechezkel Chaf? What's going on here? I make this bigger. So you have a nevuah of Yechezkel about how, Hashem is going to take B'nai Israel out of Galus, bring them back into Eretz Yisrael, but he's going to exact vengeance against people who sinned. All right, so they'll be taken out of Galus, but they won't be brought into Eretz Yisrael. You can see here. Anybody who's mavir b'neichem be'esh, where you're nitmeim l'chol gilulechem, etc. Ani idaresh lachem be'es Yisrael. Hashem's going to exact vengeance from you. Lo biad chazaka v'zor netuya v'chema shvucha emloch aleichem. I'll still take you out of the amim, right? I'll bring you to the midbar ha'amim v'nishpatiti itchem sham panim al panim. Right? You'll be adjudicated, and Hashem will exact vengeance. Uvarosi mikem hamordim v'haposhim bi. What does that mean? That's the pasuk that the Gemara hones in on, and we have a few translations here. You could pick your favorite, but it's some variation of Hashem's going to purge the rebellious and the transgressors from B'nai Israel. It's pretty fierce stuff, right? And the Gemara cites that as referring to these cases of the B'nai Teisha Midos. These are the people who are considered rebellious and trespassing violators. All right. So who are these people in the Gemara? The Gemara gave us Teisha Midos. This is on page 70 in the source sheet. We saw it refers to B'nai Ema, B'nai Anusa, B'nai Snua, B'nai Nidoi, B'nai Tmura, B'nai Meriva, B'nai Shichros, B'nai Grusha Salev, B'nai Erbuvia, and B'nai Chatzufa. And if you saw the Rishonim, there's a lot of different girsos here about how, some of these really refer to something else, right? Nidoi could be Nida. Maybe Avel is in here. Right, so it's the nine could grow to encompass a greater class of cases. Sev, where are you?
I'm just waiting for a train.
Hey, you look like you're on a Long Island Railroad platform.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, great. So B'nai Grusha Salev is one of them. Now, I think the Gemara is significant even separate from B'nai Grusha Salev. Because even if you take out the case of divorce, you get this very interesting perspective that there is considered an iser in the context of a kinyan kedushin. And what's striking to me and what we saw in the last year is how some rishonim characterize that iser. Right? Like, what is wrong with these types of relations or relationships? Right? What's wrong with them? So, here's the question that I want to pose. Or at least the sense that I get is that what's wrong with these is not just that there's some gnevas das, right? Meaning it seems to be that what's wrong with these intimate relations is more than mistreating the woman. You get the sense that what's wrong with these is that it becomes like a biasnus. Right? And I think if I were to ask you, you wouldn't say that when halacha speaks about a problem of biasnus, promiscuity, that that's a ben adam lechavero concern for the, right, like the other party. Do we agree? Are we on board for that? So I think once you say that this is not a bias ishus, not a sanctioned relation in the context of marriage, it seems to be saying that the wrongdoing here is explicable in terms other than v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, other than ben adam l'chaveiro. So let's just review those examples. Let's look at some of those formulations in the Rishonim. So Rashi had a cryptic language. Rashi said for b'nei snua. So the case of relations when the couple hates each other. And I should say, it's an interesting question whether this has to be mutual or it's sufficient that the husband hates the wife, or is it sufficient that the wife hates the husband? We'll actually see that even though this seems to imply Rashi speaks in terms of the husband, other Rishonim indicate that the same may be true for the wife. If she hates him, the same answer may apply. Which, by the way, would imply that it's not just about the concern for her harm, right? Ganevas das against her. Now, you could say there's ganevas das against the ish in the case where the wife hates him. But, you know, if you, there'd be reasons to think that there's no issue of ganevas das against the husband. But we'll get there. Okay, so Rashi says, "Amru kishaba leha la bia gemurahi ho'il v'kol kach sona." Now that phrase "la bia gemurahi" is just a very strange phrase. And he says, "Ela kiznus ba'almahu." What I think he means is that this is not like a sanctioned relations within the context of marriage. Right? It's not a permissible bia. Rather, it's like znus. Okay, look at the case of b'nei tmura. The maid b'nei tmura, according to one view, is a case where a person has two wives, and his das is on the other wife. Rashi has two dais about this, but Rashi characterizes it as krovim limamzeros shaharei niskavein leniyef. So, what do you make of that characterization of Rashi, that it's krovim limamzeros shaharei niskavein leniyef?
I was wondering about, there's a sort of like a metaphysical or physical premise of the Gemara. I mean, you see this in Chumash by like Yaakov and the sheep, that like someone's das when they're engaging in relations or what they see or what they're thinking about has a tremendous, let's say, physical effect. Like, you know, like Rabbi Yochanan would say it by the mikvah, said the kids would be beautiful. I wonder like how much of that is going into this versus the more common sense, like, oh, this is like really bad midos ben adam lechaveiro problems, versus like, oh no, there's some sort of metaphysical mismatch and mixing and mom, almost like, yeah, mom zeros.
Right.
That's really going on here.
Right. I actually, it's an open question, right? Certainly a lot of the mikubalim who think in terms of like the das, and they have like almost like physiological theories about how the child is created. I should point out that we'll see. Did everybody see those two deos in the Ravid? That the prohibition here may be totally separate about from whether a child is conceived. Like the husband, the husband is considered the morid, and So it could just be that there's an isser regardless of like what effect it has on the conception. But Zachariah, I think the other point I wanted to make against your, regarding your comment is that. I wouldn't go to either extreme, but I think you could say, regardless of the physiological theories, you could say this is like Neof, without having to say it's just like a betrayal of the other person's knowledge, Ganevas Das. I think that's the middle ground that I want to stake out in these cases. But let's look at I think the Skaven Le Neof. Do you agree that that doesn't ring in terms of deceiving the wife? Yeah, I do. Right? Karov lemamzerus, that sounds like there's something more intrinsically wrong with the relations Rome, you had a hand on this?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Mamzerus implies that it's has nothing to do with the, it's not, the emphasis is just not on the woman. If anything, it's on like what it produces and doing that.
Totally. Well, see, some Rishonim seem to have had the Girsa and the Gemara Nedarim that these children are like Mamzerim, which is, we'll see the Ramban al Torah seem to have had that Girsa, right? Which just, it escalates like what's at stake in this, right? In this Nedarim Gemara. Let's look at the
third line, like in the Gemara, the Nasan Ina Bekos, like third line in Rashi.
In Rashi or in the Gemara?
In the Gemara, go up.
Here, you want me to go up?
I think earlier, yeah.
Except that here you could just say that, like, you know, if the husband is always looking elsewhere, then that might lead to actual mamzerus.
Hmm.
Right. But yeah, you could read that in and saying, oh, even in these cases of like there's no concern for extra adulterous relations. Okay, let's look at the other cases. So we have Bnei Shechrus. So let's just get a volunteer to read the Bnei Shechrus again. Go ahead, Rami.
Shemeshash v'shechrus de biyas alav v'yegmura elak biyas nusi. Shein miskavin ela liv olba alma.
Yeah, so this is a very strange, I mean, it's a very striking characterization. What do you make of it, Rami? What's he saying?
Well, I mean, he's saying that it's not a full, like, whatever, again, via gemur is unclear. To me, it seems like he's saying because it's liv ba'alma, so therefore it has this, like, it's nus, whatever, like, whatever the English word for nus is that I'm trying to think of, but.
Promiscuity.
Yeah.
Right. Licentiousness. I think the striking thing here also is that liv ba'alma, it sounds like he's saying that's antithetical to marriage,
right
like just like that the intent should just be for like whatever it is, like gratification or something,
right.
That's a striking phrase. Let me move us to the better formulations in the Rishonim. So here the Meiri has a good formulation, so let's take a look at it. The B'nei Snua. So let's get a volunteer for B'nai Snua and the Meiri. Good Meiri. Rumi.
B'nai Snua, Shima Usala, Ubala, Ba'akrai, Kamisha Ena Ishto, Afa Pisha Ena Badaita Lagarsha.
So, what do you make of that phrase, Kamisha Ena Ishto? Right? Like, what's wrong is
this meaning, right? This is not the way that it's supposed to be done, like the way that married partners interact with each other or something like that.
Yeah. Right. So it sounds like the moment there's hatred, if they're B'nai Snua Shehima Usalo, right? The husband finds her repulsive or there's animosity. Ba'ala ba'akrai, it almost, I don't know what that cat, it sounds like frivolously.
It seems like the same kind of like, it seems to be getting at the liv ba'alma kind of a thing.
Exactly. I think all these Rishonim are getting at that same idea of Kamisha Eino Ishto. Right, it's just like contrary to the way marriage is conceived in the Torah. We agreed on that formulation, right? But notice again. I think that does not ring in terms of like Genevas Das, right? It's not that like there's a lack of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha per se. Like in the same way, it would be if you deceived your friend about breaking apart the business partnership that you have with him, right? It's contrary to like the conception of Ishus. Okay, let's look at some other formulations. The Ravid and Balia Nefesh. You recall that earlier in the year we saw the Ravid's formulations in Balia Nefesh on Vidavak Beishtav Hayla Basar Echad. He was an antecedent to the Ramban in having that idea of Etza Me'atzamai Basar Mibsari. So the Ravid Balia Nefesh is mostly about Hilchos Nida. But he has Shara Kedusha, where he talks about these ideas of intimacy in Judaism. And he has some very good formulations here. So let's get a volunteer. Zacharia, go for it.
B'nai Moredes, the Amrale Loba Inalach, Vahu Pikin, Humashami Shima. So where she says, I don't want to be married to you, but he's still having Bia. Hari,
notice, by the way, that's a case where the wife, is the one who says that she's no longer interested in continuing this relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the das of the husbands. Maybe the husband still like loves her. Maybe he's obsessed with her, right? Maybe like he's even in the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky camp of she's the Yoser Chachama and Yoser Na'e, right? But she decides lo be'in alach. So what's the din?
So harehi atzlo kmo zona va'afilu midaita.
So notice this. It's a case. Yeah. So tell us, Zacharia.
Yeah. So she's considered like just like a zona to him, even if this is consensual, right? So it's not under the like the B'nai Anusa case at all. It's just that maybe she doesn't want to be married, or but still they want to have bia.
Right. Exactly. She says to him, "Lo be'in alach. I'm no longer interested in being married." She consents, afilu midaita.
Yeah.
And nevertheless, harehi etzlo kmo zona, right? Because it's almost as if like this is not the marriage type of union once she decides that she wants out. Does everybody see that? So I think this is clearly not explicable in terms of Geneva's das of her. She consents, it's midaita. She's the one who says lo bein alach. And nevertheless, we're told that this is kmo zona. Right, meaning a non-marriage type of a relationship. Okay, go on. So let's see. Right. Yeah, go on.
Right, so he notes that actually we didn't have B'nai Merez in our Gemara, but we had B'nai Meriva, Sheimis Kotadim Yom Olayel, they're fighting. Habia hahi eina ela znus, she'ena mitoch ahava. So it's only znus because it's not a bia that emerges from ahava.
Yeah, which is also very striking. Again, it sounds like he's just saying that this like dimension of love is an important part of the Torah's conception of marriage. And when it's not there, arguably like some of the heterim of Ishus don't exist, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least that's not a bia shel Ishus. Romy, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I was just going to say like it's unclear exactly what that means though. Like if that means that like it just like they're... Their interaction just needs to be in the general context of relationship that is more substantive, as opposed to like, I mean, before you're saying, well, oh, okay, so it sounds like something that's about like gratification is automatically problematic, but like the language of mitoch ava, right? I don't know if that means that in like in the general context of relationship that's deeper, so then that wouldn't be problematic, or if like each individual interaction needs to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, hard to say. I don't think there's enough in the Ravid to take a stand on that, right? But I think it is very striking because I think if you didn't have this Gemara in Nedarim, you would just say like, well, you know, once you have the Chuppah V'Kiddushin, right? It's like you have like the legal framework in place for all these heterim of intimate relations. And that's kind of what Chuppah and Kiddushin do. And I just think what you see from this Gemara is that that's not true. Right, there's like something else that the Torah requires for the hitir lanu es hanesuos lanu. Like if you just read the bracha, you'd say hitir lanu hanesuos lanu like chuppah v'kiddushin, like that's it. Right. Good. So let's develop this a little further. So Zachariah, tell us about the case of the drunk person. Yeah. Shehu.
So b'nei shichros shehu shikur o shehi shikura. So either of them are drunk.
Yeah, so that's really interesting, right? Doesn't matter which one. It sounds like any one of them is sufficient to say that it's prohibited.
Right, because then ve'in behem kavanas av. Because then presumably they're just having for other purposes, not for ahava.
I think this takes a stand on Romy's point, right? Because I think Romy was asking, like, is this about the in what context, in what quality type of relationship this interaction takes place? Or is this about like the actual maisa bia in this instance, right, Romy? And I think in this case of shichrus, it's clearly the latter, right? It's not about the context. It's not about the in what type of marriage does this interaction take place. It's about like the specific maisa bia. Are we in agreement about that? Okay, B'nai Grushas Halev, so let's, here he doesn't tell us so much, but tell us Zacharia.
Right, Shebelibo Lagarsha, the Gomer Badaito Lasers, Kath, the Akaka who Ba'ala. So he intends to divorce her, and he actually, the rabbi adds that he like really has to finalize his mental decision to do such a thing.
Yeah, Gamar Bedaita, right? It's already decided.
Yeah.
Now here the rabbi doesn't flesh out. He doesn't say exactly, well, what's the problem with this one? Right. Yeah. It seems to me, though, in line with the others, either it's it sounds like it's a biaznus, right? It's not a bia of ishus anymore once it's already setting the groundwork for gerushin. Again, he doesn't flesh it out, but it just seems reasonable to apply like what Rashi and the Ravid have been saying to the other cases to the B'nai Grusha Salev. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at some other formulations in the Ravid. Let's see. B'nai Snua. Do we read B'nai Snua already?
I don't think so.
Right, so just read B'nai Snua over here.
Yeah, so B'nai Snua, K'mash Ma'a, as it implies, V'afal Pisha in B'daito L'garsha. V'atam, B'nai Shehi, K'mo B'ilas Nos, V'ena K'b'ilas Isha.
Right, that's like we saw in the Meiri, I think, similar formulation, mm-hmm. Right? That B'nai Snua is no longer a B'ilas Isha. And again, I think it's plausible to say something similar for the case of Daito L'garsha, right? Josh Shapiro, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I was just wondering, in the case of like Niuf, are we kofin Lagarish? Because like in this case of Liba Lagarsha, we're trying to compare, let's say, to Znut or something along those lines. But, you know, according to some Rishonim, it's just, it's let's say like an Isser Bia or let's say an Isser Shimush. I'm curious how that compares.
Say it again, in the case of Niuf?
Case of Niuf, would we be kofin Lagarish?
Where the husband is Mina'if or the wife is Mina'efes?
Husband.
It's an interesting question. Usually, that depends on the Roezonos case, right? I think that what we saw in the Chacham Tzvi is that Niyaf itself from the husband would not be grounds to compel a divorce. I could double check in Simon Kufna Dalid. But why do you ask, Josh?
No, I just feel like that. If we're trying to compare, let's say, like this Gemara here, so let's say our cases in Gittin of Liba Lagarsha, I think it would have to match up, let's say, about like what the poskim say about what the, like where the Isser kicks in for Liba Lagarsha. Like if you say like that the Isser kicks in, you know, at like, you know, just let's say when you like have Bia and maybe not, let's say, being married to her.
Right.
Then maybe you could say, well, maybe in Liba Lagarsha, it's like a more technical Ben Am L'Chavero claim, but. And here it makes it sound like it's more fundamental.
Right, right. For sure. Like you can't really treat these two Gemaras separately from each other, right? The Ravid's move in our sugya was to say that Nidarim is different from Gittin Tzadi. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was the right. So I think we first have to understand what's going on in Nidarim Chaf. But I agree with your point that if Nidarim Chaf is saying that, look, once there's Gamar Beliba Lagarsha, B'nai Grusha Salev, that there's no longer a proper Ishus, then the prohibition, well, finish, what would be the problem with that, Josh?
No, because like the way we were reading the, like I think the Ravid and the Meiri and the Chokas Mechokek from last year and even the Tor was that it's a lot more, it's leaning towards a Ben Am L'Chavero Isser.
Right. But I think when you read these Gemaras, you don't get the sense that it's exclusively just Ben Adam L'Chavero.
Yeah,
do you agree with that?
Agreed. I'm just saying, though, in Liba Lagarsha, like, what's the, where does, I feel like where the Isser kicks in is an important question.
Yeah. But again, we don't know, I don't know if the mere fact that the Gemara Nedarim has that these interactions are prohibited because they're contrary to the essence of Ishus, right? I don't know that that would automatically bear on how we interpret the Gemara Daf Tzadi. Meaning, I think you could still say that the Isser is to have relations under the conditions of the Gemara Nedarim without there being a chiyuv ligaresh or a prohibition of just remaining together.
You're saying that there could be a prohibition of just like Bia and you could still stay together and could still, it doesn't have to be a Ben Am L'Chavero issue. It could still be.
Exactly. There. Exactly. I mean, it could be that the marriage is broken. There's no Isser for the couple to still remain in the same house. But the Torah thinks that like the Hitir Lanu Hanasuos Lanu Aidechov Vikdushin, that's gone. Like yeah. that, right? So
I'm just curious about the precedent for that. I'd say in other cases.
That there's some pigam in the Ishus that only affects the intimacy.
Yeah. Where it's yeah. like that's what
I'm good. It's a really good question. I don't have the answer yet. But does everybody see what Josh's intuition is? Josh's intuition is that if the Gemara Nedarim cases are about some flaw in the Ishus as evidenced by Sina, Diet Oligarsha, etc., it's strange to think that they just apply Bishas Tashmish or Bishas Bia. Josh, that's your intuition, right? Right. See, I don't share that intuition. I think there's certainly conceivable to say that there's a pagam. The pagam undercuts certain aspects of the Hetar Nisuin, but it doesn't yet prohibit them from staying together. I agree that intuitions could differ. I could see somebody saying, oh, once there's this type of chisaron deficiency, then it's problematic for this union to last.
Yeah, you could also say though, like we have cases of, let's say, like Niuf or whatever it may be, that we don't, where it's just an Isrbia and we don't force them to get divorced yet.
Exactly. I'll give you an example. Just post Gim's intuitions could differ about this. I'll just give you an example from something later on that I put here. From our good friend the Chashuke Chemed on page 81. I, by the way, I told you, like this is more related to the, it's directly related to Josh's point, but more related to the Gemara Daf Tzadi than the Gemara Nedarim. I told you about like this couple that they separated because like they don't want, I think it's very clear they don't want to be married. They separated and live in separate houses. It's just like too expensive to actually follow through on the divorce. All right. So is there any problem with them just like staying married, not sharing any common life? But they're both like neither is interested in marrying somebody else, right? So they live in separate homes, have no interaction. Like, should there be a chiv legarish in that case? Right, Josh, that's kind of like what you're asking, right? Like there's let's assume that there's no interest on either side to remain married. It's solely because of the problems of dissolving the economics of the finances, right? So my intuition would be to say, yeah, that's like contrary to the Torah's conception of marriage, right? Like what's the, but somebody else could say, well, look, as long as everyone's happy, then, you know, what's really the problem? Look here at this Chashukei Chemer Nedarim. Look what he was asked. I don't know if anybody saw this, but it's a cute, So, Romy, did you see this? Or Danny, David, you saw this?
Well, no, I was just going to, on what you just said, though. The meaning, you're saying neither of them want to at the moment, right? But, like, part of the issue is that they could change, like, someone could presumably change their mind and then they're in an untenable marriage.
Yeah, that's true. They could always change their mind. But, like, right now, they both basically have Das Lagarish. Like, you know, they're both... They want to be divorced. They just can't be divorced, right? Because it's very complicated financially, right? So look what the Chashuke Chemed talks about. Zug prudim, hachayim bevayis achad. Zug shelo histadju b'neihem v'chlitu lipared. So they decided they're going to separate. But heyos v'gam labal v'gam lisha ein kesef liskor dira chilufis. They don't have enough money to rent a second apartment. So that's why they haven't separated yet. So in the interim, shneim garim bevayis achad, v'chol achad yoshin b'cheder acher, gam es ochel kol achad kor nelatzma v'ochel b'chedro, v'shabbosos v'chagim. Sorry, and on Shabbos and Yontif, the wife goes to her friends or to her family, right? So it's like there's really nothing keeping them together other than the fact that they can't afford a second apartment yet, but they don't eat meals together. They live in separate parts of the apartment. So what was the question? The question was, is there a din of Ishto Kigufo for Hadlokas Neros Chanukah? Like, should the wife light separately, or is she Yotze with her husband's Hadlokas Neros? Very cute question. right? So she says, Shuelas Isha, how am I need to chalad like near Hanukkah v'atzmi, kivan she'eni margisha bo shehu kegufi. Notice how they pose the question here as it's like, you know, she doesn't feel that her husband is a kegufa. So here's the tshuva. Zug prudim hu musag chadash. Like this idea of being separate is like, it's a modern concept. Al pi halacha harei yikishto l'chol davar. Look, don't get into the sentimentals here. So long as there's no get, right? They're kiguf echad. Pretty striking position, but you know, here you get in the footnotes. You know, they say, oh, but you know, they asked a similar question to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and he kind of gave a tsarachian, right? Like it's not so straightforward. But this relates to the question of right, it's sensible to think that it's not just the yichud, it's not just the bia that becomes prohibited, Josh, right? Like there are other dinim once there's das lagarish. I think in the way the question is posed here. Hichlitu li pared, right? They already decided that they're going to separate. So it's like the prohibition on tashmish is just one symptom of, like, amongst many other dinim, right? Of the fact that many of the halachos of ishus are no longer in place. Do you see that, Josh? Yeah, and I'll give the other examples also. But I think like you could say what the Chashukei Chemed is saying, right? That no, they're kiguf echad so long as there's no get, harei yishto l'chol davar, etc. But still say there's a prohibition of tashmish because the heter of bia goes away once there's das lagarish or sinna, etc. Right? I mean, I think you could easily just distinguish, you could severate between the different aspects of hilchos ishos. All right? Okay, so let's go back to our Balia Nefesh. So, whoa, that's went back way too far. So the Balia Nefesh in the last lines, Chari, I think you were taking us to the Balia Nefesh. So just tell us about these two lines here.
Yeah.
Right, so that's the theory that it's about the children, right? And then he throws in the second thing. Right, so here he's saying, look, the husband's considered the wrongdoer, right, in all these cases. So that's one important chiddush of the Ravid. But there's a second important chiddush in the Ravid, which is, what's this first part here?
That this, even if they still have to do puruvu.
Yeah. It sounds like he's saying, look, there's some havamina to be entertained here that everything's kosher so long as it's instrumental or necessary to achieve puruvu. Right? Does everybody see that? And he comes down firmly saying that's not true. Right? He's saying, even if even if the mitzvah of puruvu somehow hangs or depends on violating some of these teshamidos, that's not justified. So I in the parentheses here, I say hashveh to the Chashukei Chemed that we saw earlier, not the one that I just mentioned in response to Josh, about the guy who has no interest in getting married. Remember that? I think his language was even that, like, the woman, like, he was he had no attraction. He had no chefetz to marry her. But the Chashukei Chemed said, marry her anyway, to Mekayim Peruvu. So do you think this Ravid would be at odds with that Chashukei Chemed? See if we could go back to it. I mean, I think one way of reading it, Romy, you have a hand on this? Or?
Yeah, I think it depends if you recognize, like, any neutral realm of relationship, meaning...
Right, what about Eino Mitochava and...
Right, so I don't know if it means, like, that even in a case where they're not particularly Like, is it just because it's new that, of sinna that it's problematic, or even if there's a lack of ava, right?
Right, right. He says, also lizman katzar, that was the chesukei chamed, right? Like, even if it's just short term. Yeah. It's hard to know if this is like a neutral thing. But he has, it sounds like he thinks that there will be das lagarish, right? Because he says it's just lizman katzar. But maybe that's not b'nei grushas halev yet, if there's no decision. So it's a tough call. But I think the Ravid is explicitly raising this tension between the mitzvah peruvu and the B'nai Teisha Midos, and he sides clearly on the side of saying that Puravu doesn't justify a Biasnos. Right? Sorry, that's the wrong Bali Nefesh. Here. Everybody agree with that? Yeah? Okay. Great. The tour, Ala Torah here, mostly quotes the... He mostly quotes the Ravid and Balya Nefesh. I did just want to flag one formulation about how the Tur ala Torah in Dvarim characterizes the B'nai Grushas Halev. Anybody catch that? And like a bunch of Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch end up quoting this. How does he characterize B'nai Grushas Halev? Josh Shapiro, did you get a chance to see this yet? Anybody get a chance to see it yet? Yeah, Romy.
Meaning he says that if you want, meaning the guy has plans to divorce her, even if he feels otherwise like okay with her, right? Isn't below in believe sinna.
Yeah, kegon osan shekofen lahotzi. Right. Let's say it's like the cases that where Bezdin forces the husband to divorce, right? So even if the husband really loves her, and they have a very nice relationship, he's saying the moment, and there's no sinna. The moment there's libo ligarsha, that takes away the heter of the heter bia. So this is an interesting question, right? Like here, the thought seems to be that das ligarish per se, not as a way of suggesting that there's sinna or hatred, right? That on its own could be a ground for dissolving certain aspects of the ishus. Right, so I think that's an important, again, to my mind, that may suggest that this is not so much about Benadam Lechavero. But we don't have to go there yet. I mean, I think just the important thing to take away from here is I don't think that B'nai Grushas Halev is a proxy for thinking in terms of Sinna. Correct? It's like the fact that there's going to be a divorce in and of itself is a reason why the heter of Bia will go away. So let's look at this Ramban. In Dvarim Chaf Aleph, this is, anybody knows what's going on in Dvarim Chaf Aleph? Romy?
Isn't that Eishes Tifas Torah?
Yeah, there's the Eishes Tifas Torah in the beginning of Kiseitze. So what's the halacha that's at issue here in Eishes Tifas Torah? The waiting period.
Yeah.
Right. The Ramban takes issue with the Rambam's characterization of the waiting period before the Eishes Tifas Torah becomes permissible to the Jewish captor. And what does the Rambam say? Go ahead.
Let me read it or just say it?
You could just tell us the Rambam's
view. He says that the idea is that you're supposed to give her some time to basically mourn the loss of her old life or something like that.
Yeah. Very much Bein Adam L'Chaveru, right? L'chemla Aleha. To have mercy on her. Shatim sama noach lenafsha. I mean, it's just like a little rachmanus, no? Because
mm-hmm.
People who are sad should have some time to cry for their family that was just killed in war, right? Okay. The Ramban takes issue with that. He says it's not lachmal aleha. It's not about having mercy on her. So read this. V'aldati.
V'aldati ina pnai lachmal aleha rak she. Sheyakir shem avodazara umiliba avlechbos od gachel hanidnu ba pure meavia umi ima Umiyama.
Okay, so it's to extinguish.
Right, the like her connection and her, like, or basically complete her separation from her earlier, from her parents and from her nation.
Yeah, I mean, so it's still to like let her get over the loss.
Right.
It's right? Not, but it's not. But it's not out of chemla. It's not out of rachmanus on her. Right. Right. So let's see. What does it say? Right.
She'ein hagun l'shachiv im isha anusa mitabelet kmo she'zkir avotenu b'mamzerim b'nei grushas halev. Because it can do that. That's how it believe. Elohel, it's atzil v'ashiva alamav elohel. So, meaning it's more about like why traumatic for this guy to like relate to her himself as opposed to like being kind to her for her own sake.
Yeah, the Ramban explicitly invokes the Gemara Nedarim and Daf Chaf, right? And he says that look, it's prohibited to have relations with a woman who is distraught. Right? I think that's the thought. He cites the Gemara and he says this is like B'nei Grusha Salev, or the he calls B'mamzerim. A lot of like commentators here say like, oh, the Ramban, you know, seems to think that these cases are like Mamzerim. But notice the contrast to the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim. Like, what exactly is the contrast? Right? Isn't the Ramban also saying that this is Lachem Lola? No, but he denies that, right? He denies that this is Lachem Lola. He's contrasting his view with the Rambam and the Mora. Go ahead, Rami.
It's explicitly not B'nei Mechavira, meaning it's the same kind of, it's also concerned about the same, like, practical, like, her connection to her old life. But not for the reasons of Benam Lechavero. It's for the problem that it will create in terms of their relationship between that, meaning in the couple's relationship.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it sounds like he's saying this is just like a type of znus that's not prohibited, separate and apart from the fact that this is wrong to her.
It is weird that he chooses B'nei Grusha Halev of all the cases, though, no?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not sure why that's the one that applies.
It is strange that he's single. Like, he should have just said, like, B'nei Tesha Midos or something. Yeah. Unless he thinks, like, Grusha Halev is just a way of saying, like, they're alienated, right? There's some sort of, like, distance in the heart between the two of them, right? As opposed to, like, B'nei Grusha. Mm-hmm. Like, Grusha Halev is, like, what catches all these cases because, like, there's no Ava, there's, right? Some sort of alienation, you would say. Okay, everybody good with that Ramban? Yeah, thoughts on the Ramban? Anyone? It's a good Ramban, right? Benji, you like the Ramban?
Yep.
Where's Kobe?
Chicago.
That's why we're on Zoom, though.
I think it's like the middle of the night in Chicago now. I don't know how time differences work.
You clearly don't know how time differences work if you think it's the middle of the night.
It's an hour difference.
But I like that, Benji. I like the turn over no stone to be down the Kaf's Chus. I like that. I should have specified Eastern time. That would have helped. That's the simpler way of doing what you're doing.
Maybe he got confused. He'll be on in 10 minutes, maybe.
There you go. But we'll be off because I said 1 hour sheer. So, man, guess I'll have to do 2 hours to accommodate Kobe. Just kidding. Romy said we have to have shorter shears on Zoom just so that, everyone's nodding. Okay, we're going to keep it short. We'll be done in 10 minutes. Our attention span is different on Zoom. Okay. Let me mention this Ritva in Ksuvis, very fascinating Ritva, bringing together two sugyas that we've seen. You'll recall in the sugyas in Ksuvis, there's some halachos that depend on the wife saying lo be'ina lei. And we saw the Rambam says if the wife claims ma'as alai, we'll force gerushin. Remember that? So here, just the Ritva has a very fascinating point. He says, once the wife claims ma'as alai, nichnas la mi'isa beliba, right? She has, well, let me say, yeah. Nichnas la mi'isa beliba. So, this disgust, whatever, this repulsiveness gets into her. Like, she thinks that the husband is repulsive. Imhu kain vadai ein la lachofa lachzerlo, de aser lihizakek la bisina. There's no way we could force her to have intimacy with him or to stay with him, because it's prohibited to have relations bisina. Ubanim sheyir lo mimena yum mibnei teisha midos. And he cites a mordim vaposhim bi. Hilkach mutav shelo nezakek lahen v'yichufena habal b'chol kviyo sheyuchal. Etc. So his thought is, like, in this case, like, yeah, we should try to, like, compel the husband to try to divorce her. Why? Not because ma'is alai per se is grounds for divorce, but he says, oh, because it triggers the Gemara Nedarim Daf Chaf. Right? The Gemara prohibits relations in the context of sinna. Right? Asrali zakek la b'sinna. So my point is just simply that he seems to see the cases in Nedarim as almost being sufficient grounds for compelling a divorce between the husband and wife, lest we end up with B'nai Teisha Midos. Everybody see that? Yeah? That strike you as significant in any way, or does that raise the significance of these cases somewhat? I think so. I think Mini is saying, like, B'nai Teisha Midos is not just like a nice idea, right? It's going to serve as independent grounds for divorce now. Why are we kofa lagarish? Because we can't have hamordim v'aposhim bi. Tzara, do you agree with that analysis?
Yeah, I think that's astute. I think that's also clearly. In the case, it's not merely the binyan lachavir betrayal; it's some sort of quasi-znus.
Exactly.
I think that's exactly. It's a good connection.
100%. I think it also puts this more into the heart of like dine evin ha'ezer, right? As opposed to hilchos deos type things. That's right. Romy,
doesn't this raise some problems for, like, the in terms of sinna and shukus and things like that, like? That's those being grounds for divorce is like very, that seems like it can get very messy very quickly, because like those are things that can fluctuate. I mean, fluctuate or like just be totally either you're drunk or you're not drunk, and then you know, so it just seems complicated to kind of work those things together.
Say a little more, meaning you're saying what that
meaning if these are grounds for divorce, then. Like, at what point are the grounds for divorce? Like, if they're intimate once and while drunk, those are grounds for divorce?
No, I think we would say, like, it's an interesting question. Let's say the husband's a drunkard. That's what you're asking, basically.
Kind of, meaning that makes more sense to me, I guess, right? But otherwise, I think those some of these categories are much easier to understand as just, like, these are not good things, these or these, you know, there might not be a het there.
Even. Right. Maybe not all the dinim are the same. Right. Maybe not all the dinim are the same. Maybe snua, a sinna, is different from b'nei shichros. I think we could be open to that possibility.
Right.
I think it's an open question. Okay. I want us to, we're going to say a little more about that Gemara Nedarim. But I think just for now, I want to establish like the language that these Rishonim employ, right? It's not a Be'ilas Ishus. It becomes a Be'ilas Nus. And we're very much saying that there's something flawed in the marriage framework here. I think that's what you see very clearly from the formulation of the Rishonim in these cases. Does everybody agree with that? Josh Spear, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, how do you think modiela works with this? Or if you do hold, do you think somebody could be able to hold modiela if they're holding? This is like,
I think it's very hard. I think it's very hard. And we saw explicitly some Rishonim who said even if you're modiela, right, it's still b'nei teisha midos, right? Didn't we see that? Which Rishon was that?
The Shulchan Aruch said it, but I don't remember him saying mentioning.
I'll tell you who said it. The Ravid, right? If she says lo bein alach, and he's mishamish with her, she's like a zona, afila midaita, even if he has her consent, right? which implies that, yeah, consent can't solve the B'nai Teisha Midos cases. Right? I want to buttress this analysis by introducing this tshuva of Rav Uziel. If you know, Rav Uziel was a big Sephardi Rav. I think maybe it was the Rav Yerushalayim for the first part of the 20th century. I gave us a little biography over here. He was born in Yerushalayim in 1880, and he was the Abbezin of the Sephardi Bezin in Yerushalayim. And in this very fascinating tshuva, you could see he was asked, we're going to read other parts of it in our next year, about, you know, just one attempted resolution to address the Aguna problem, that maybe at the moment of Kiddushin, the husband should give a get to a shliach with a t'nai that the get should be given if they're separated for 3 years or once there's a civil divorce. And you can see Rav Uziel is very shaken by this. B'charada, uchev lev, shamati, this strange suggestion, blah, 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 that some rabbanim want that during chuppah v'kiddushin, there should be an aminoi shlichus legerushin, that if the couple is separated for 3 years or she gets divorced in the arkos, that the shliach will give the get. Somebody see that? There's the contemporary suggestions along these lines. You know, it always resurfaces. Rav Uziel is very upset with it. We'll talk why. So part of his reason is that he thinks it goes against the Gemara Nivamos that we read about Nosei Isha Aldas Lagarsha. Somebody see that, right? How problematic is it to enter into a Kiddushin with Das Lagarish? Everybody with me? So he says, the suggestion is very strange and it's a mockery. And he says, because it undermines, it's osek kol hanisuin lelag uschok. So it turns weddings into shams. How is it conceivable that with one hand you put on a ring and you say, tabas habrish el kedushin, and on the other hand, you're giving a get? Okay, so he says it makes a mockery of kedushin, of nisuin. So just notice, by the way, that the language here is not language of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Correct? So he's saying, no, Seisha Manas L'Garsha is not that you're deceiving her. He seems to be saying, even if you had her consent, it would be a problem. And this is something he grapples with in the tshuvas, because as Josh keeps pointing out, right, the Shulchan Aruch himself says, oh, if the wife consents Manas L'Garsha, maybe that's okay. But Rav Uziel thinks that this is Oses Hanesuin L'Mischak Yiladim, meaning it's contrary to the very notion of what marriage is. So we'll talk about that. But then he talks about the Gemara Nedarim. So skip down in our source sheet to page 78 here. Rav Uziel says, Asra Lisa Isha Manas Lagasha Afilu Im Modia. Okay, even if you tell the wife. V'chol ho'o says zos lo rak she'over alav de lo sachar shal riecha ra. So notice what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, don't think this is just Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. In every case of Kedushin Amanas L'Garesh or Kedushin with Das L'Garesh, every intercourse in that relationship is not a Bias Ishus. Where does he get this from? He says, She'en HaKedushin V'Achupa Sh'Achare Motziim Mibilasnus. Ela kishehem miskaimim be'emuna v'kedusha, aval kishedaito legarsha v'chore shalesha scheko ra'a, v'ze osa b'ila osa b'ilas nus, l'fishehu mefer bris kedushas hanesuim. So he's trying to say that it's actually contrary to the kinyan ishus, right? Already conspire for the gerushin. Not just of Al Tachor Shal Riecha Ra, he says, right? It's not just Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. It actually makes the Bila into Bilas Nus. Why? Because it undercuts the essence of Nisuin. And what does he cite to buttress this, that it's more than just Ben Adam L'Chaveiro? What does he cite? He cites the Gemara Nedarim, Daf Chaf, Rosi Mikem, Amardim Vaposhim Bi. What does that mean for him? It means that he says included in these are B'nai Grushas Halev. right? Where there's das legaresh, where the banim are pegumim, the avos are poshim umardim. And he says, mikan, she'asur bias grushas halev, she'isur bias grushas halev, chamor, mi'isur znus de pnuya, shehu rak be'isur lav. That's a very bold statement. He's saying, in fact, you know, all these Rishonim are using the paradigm that it's a bias nus, but it's actually worse than a bias nus, because in a bias nus de pnuya, you know, maybe it's some sort of Isser Drabanan. But he says here it's actually an Isser Lav, like from this Pasuk in Yechezkel. And it comes with this status of Mardin Vaposhimbi. And he says the same applies to Nosa Yishal Manas Ligarsha. Now, why is this? Look what he says. He says, this is because even if you have the wife's consent, Afilum Hodia Shehu Nosa Manaskach, the Hiskima Linasa, even if the wife agrees, it's still prohibited. Mishum de machsheves iser ze pogem es hanisuin hayisraelim. V'davar ze lo nitan lahaskamasam shel shnei tzadim. She'ein rathon v'haskama shneim yachol l'shanos ritzono v'ugzei raso shel mekadesh yisrael ay dechupa v'kidushin kadas Moshe v'Yisrael. So what's his argument? Again, you do have to read this in the context. It's polemical. Right, so you gotta. But what's the argument, Josh?
That it's not just binyan kafarah, and it is about the institution of marriage itself. And you know, two people don't have the ability to be mocha on that.
Yeah, I think it's very clearly that, right? And he thinks that's what you get out of the Gemara Nedarim of Hamordim va'aposhim bi, like Bnei Grush Saleh being there. So you know, you could even think of this. We'll talk more about this. Here's another formulation that he has. This is his own formulation. So this is on the top of page 79. Josh, why don't you just read this this phrase of Aladati?
Aladati iser grushat halib hu mishum dekevan shegrusha belibo harehu boel bilatznut in kain aser afilu im hodia lom stavra shetatira torah beila kizir she'enum nekavanet l'shem ishet.
Yeah,
it's just some straight up snus.
Yeah, and he's saying why is Grushas Halev a bias nus? Because it's not L'shem Ishus anymore. It's like once there's Das Ligarish, like this is no longer part of like the institution of marriage, right? Does everybody see that? So notice that you could read this Tshuva Rav Uziel as countering the Ravid's comment in the Hasagos to the Rif. The Ravid said, you know, how do you square Gittin Daf Tzadi with Nedarim Davchaf? It would just be superfluous to have two Isurim getting at the same thing. Must be that one's about Tashmish and one's about other types of other benefits, right? Cooking and, right? That was the Ravid's move. I think you could read Rav Uziel as saying that, no, like, whatever you want to say about Al Tachor Shal Riecha Ra, that rings in terms of Bin Adam Lechavero, right? Conspiring against somebody, misleading somebody, et cetera, et cetera. But he sees the Gemara Nedarim as indicating that there's an Isser here that's about the nature of Nisuin as an institution, and that these Abila Shelo L'Shem Ishus becomes a Bias Nus, which he thinks is more chamor than a relationship of Bias Pnuya. Does everybody see that? It's almost like to ridicule what Ishus is supposed to be is worse than some sort of type of intimacy totally orthogonal or outside of Ishus. Yeah, we'll give Josh the last word.
Would you say he's like reinterpreting the Pasuk to mean that it's talking about institution of marriage, or he's just saying, okay, that Gemara means, like Rav Uziel saying, the Gemara in Gittin is talking about Bidam Lechavero, but here we're clearly talking about the institution of marriage. Like I would like to think that there's consistency across like wherever this Pasuk is, either here or either in Gittin or Nedarim, it's going to be the same type of read.
Well, you have two separate Pasukim, right? We have Yechezkel, that's what you get in Nedarim, and you have Mishle, which in Gittin. Al Tachra Shal Riacha Ra is Mishle. Uvrosim Yikam Mordim Vaposhim B is Yechezkel. And he wants to say Nedarim, which cites Yechezkel, is talking about a real Isser about the nature of Ishus. And Mishle al Tachosh al Riach HaRa is more binon lechaveroi. That's what I think this line suggests. He says, "Also, lisi shem nas legarsha mishem al tachosh al riach hara v'cholos is us lo rak she over alav de lo tachosh al riach hara ella she b'maisa zu osa bilasa bilasnus." How does he know that it's also osa maisa bilasnus? Lefisha who mefer b'vav v'aleim nemar v'rosim ikem amardim v'aposhim bi. Do you see that, Josh? Yeah.
So could you say though that the Isser for, let's say, relations is coming like in the realm coming from the reason of it's undermining the institution of marriage, but there's an Isser, let's say, for Shimush that could be coming from a completely separate reason.
100%. 100%. Right. It sounds almost, I think you could say very nicely, this gets back to your earlier point, and you could say something along the lines of, yeah, like that this is all about Bilas Nus, and therefore it's limited to Tashmish, Hamita. Whereas the Al Tachosh Al Riacha might just have a wider scope. Right? You say it's not contrary to the nature of marriage to receive a benefit of, you know, whatever it might be, food or income from a spouse. But it is a Ben Adam Lechavero concern. Right, Josh? That's the...
Yeah, and even if you say the Isser is just Bia, you could say there's two dimensions to the Bia Isser. One, which is Ben Lechavero, one is institution of marriage.
Totally. Totally. Okay, good. Everybody, any other questions for our analysis of B'nai Grushas HaLev? Okay, so for next year, we'll say just a little more about B'nai Grushas HaLev. I want to go back to the Gemara Yevamos about Nosa Isha Manas Lagarsha. Just talk a little bit more about programming in the divorce from the Shas Kiddushin. Look carefully at this Piskei Uziel, at this Tshuva of the Rav Uziel. Just get a better sense of what's going on there. And I'm going to add Mikoros about other dinim of Ishus that fall away once there's Das Lagarish, like I mentioned. No more support obligation, no Avelus, etc. Right, like the Shukei Chemed that we saw today about maybe there's no Ishto Kigufo once there's Das Lagarish. So basically, what dinim of Ishus fall off with Das Lagarish? That's what I want us to, that's the second thing I want us to focus on next year. All right. And then I think that will be it for this big sugya. And maybe I want to just give a few shiurim just to consolidate what we've seen in the big picture once you wrap this up. And then we're going to move just to go through the first parak and these new sigyas of Lishma, Lefanay Nechtam, Merachanam Bisurin. All right. Let me just say, I don't think it makes sense to have shiur tomorrow. Monday, I covered mostly what I wanted to cover today. I think there's a Thursday after Yom Kippur. All right, so let's aim to, but it's really a Tuesday schedule. So let's just aim to have a short shiur. We'll try to do a 1 hour then. And I think that's it before Sukkot, right, Romy?
I think so. I'll check, but I think so.
Right. So I would say let's aim to maybe wrap this all up on the Thursday, like after Yom Kippur. And then I'm not sure if I'll wrap everything up then. I'll decide. I'll decide if I want to go a little more. But then does it make sense when we come back in person that I'll give like a few shiur? I'm just kind of synthesizing the topics we've seen as you guys, like maybe in your Seder time, you could start preparing the beginning of the first parak. Okay, great. Shkak, guys, everybody have a Gemar Chesima Tova if we don't speak before Yom Kippur. And it should be a good and meaningful and productive Yom Kippur, and everyone should be Nechtam in the Sefer HaChaim. Shkak, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.